welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Our life is not our own. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I got all kinds of props up here this morning, so bear with me. Praise Jesus. Praise the Lord. Our God is such a creative God. But first of all, I would like to thank, in addition to our God being a creative God, I would like to thank our music minister today, Sister Jay Shauna. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we say about the anointing coming down the family line. Well, I think you have stepped into your own anointing. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for our guests. Praise the Lord for the bishop and our, is that what I say, percussionist? Is that what I'm supposed to say when you play the guitar? A bass player. See, you could tell I don't know these things. But praise the Lord. You guys were awesome. Awesome today. I thank you for blessing us indeed. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Jay. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's get about the Lord's business. Hallelujah. My life is not my own. I turned my phone on one morning, and for some reason I watched as it booted up. When it appeared to be done, I happened to notice something sort of flickering at the top edge. It was the word searching. Searching, searching. The phone was searching for service, trying to connect to whatever cellular network was available. Today's sermon title is Searching for Service, Searching for Servants. Will you turn with me to Matthew chapter 9 and Isaiah 6? Matthew chapter 9 and Isaiah 6. In Matthew and in Isaiah, I will be reading from the New King James translation of the scriptures. In Matthew 9, I'm going to be reading from 35 to 38. Matthew 9, 35 to 38, and Isaiah 6, 8. You can stand as you're able. Praise the Lord. Father, please open our spirits, that we may behold wondrous things out of your law. Matthew 9, 35, hear the word of the Lord. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And in Isaiah 6, "Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then said I, 'Here am I, send me.'" Will you bow in prayer with me? Father, we thank you for this very moment in time. And God, at this moment, we need you. We need you, Father, to be the preacher, to minister the word that you have given unto me. I ask, oh God, that you would move me out of your people's way and move them out of my way so that you can have your way. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us, Lord. And then bless us to respond. Thank you, Lord. We bind every hindering spirit that would come against this word. There is no weapon today that's formed against us that will prosper. Any tongue that rises up against us right now, I condemn it, because this is my heritage as a servant of the Lord, and my righteousness is of him. Have your way, God. Demonstrate even now to the powers of darkness that you are indeed Lord here at the Church of the Redeemer Baptist and in the homes of all the members, visitors, and friends. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. In the Gospel of Matthew, there are five discourses by the Lord Jesus. A discourse is simply a discussion about a topic, a means of communication. The five discourses are the Sermon on the Mount, the Missionary Discourse, the Parabolic Discourse, the Discourse on the Church, and the Discourse on End Times. All there in the book of Matthew. Interestingly enough, chapters 8 and 9 are not included in any of the five discourses. So I had to see what was going on in those two chapters. Here's what I found. Jesus healed a leper. He healed a centurion's servant. He healed Peter's mother-in-law. He healed lots more sick folk after that. He cast out demons. He had to respond to a scribe who said he wanted to follow him, and also to a disciple who had wanted to follow him but wanted to go bury his father first. Jesus had to let them both know the cost of discipleship. If you want to follow me, young scribe, there's something you need to know. Jesus said, "Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Since most scribes had a little change, you know, a little pape, Jesus had to let them know he was essentially homeless. And to the other disciple who he said to him, the one who wanted to go home to bury his father, he said, "Let the dead bury the dead." See, the young man wanted to go live with his aging father before his last days, during his last days. It would be today what we would call his father was on hospice. And so he wanted to go and spend that time with his father. He wanted to put off serving Jesus until after his father died. So Jesus was letting him know that no matter their Jewish customs, that he was actually putting tradition ahead of serving Jesus. One commentator says, "God wants us to care for the needs of our families." And he enumerates that in Matthew and Mark chapter 7, verses 10 through 13, and in 1 Timothy 5, 8. But, he goes on, "we are not to neglect our spiritual calling in the process." Afterwards, Jesus stilled a storm and delivered two more who were demon-possessed. And all of that was just in chapter 8. Then in chapter 9, he forgave a paralytic of his sins and healed him as well. Then he called Matthew to become his disciple. After that, he was questioned as to why his disciples didn't fast, and he gave them a response. Later, he raised Jairus' daughter, but on the way to her house, he healed the woman with the issue of blood. After that, he healed two blind men and then cast a demon out of a mute, which some said he did by the power of the prince of demons. Now, I said all of that to say this. Jesus was all about his father's business. In Hebrews 10, it says, "It is written in me in the volume of the book, I have come to do thy will, O God." In our text, he's continuing to fulfill the father's will for his life. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Then something happened. Verse 36 says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd." Jesus was moved with compassion. Compassion literally means to suffer together. Among emotion researchers, it is defined as the feeling that arises when we are confronted with another's suffering and feel motivated to relieve that suffering. What are we doing during this pandemic? Have we been moved with compassion for the multitudes we see, either on TV or out and about on the streets or in the parks and on the beaches? As we recognize the fear of an uncertain future envelop them, does it matter to us at all? We have sometimes defined fear as the acronym false evidence appearing real. Well, we all know this virus is real, y'all. It's not just taking lives, but it's also taking away livelihoods as millions are out of work. Fear is the order of the day. Armando Christian Perez, also known as Pitbull, was on GMA on April 13th to introduce his new anthem, I Believe That We Will Win. In the process, he introduced another acronym, matter of fact, two, for fear, that presents us with a choice. Forget everything and run, or face everything and rise. And for somebody, that's your rhema today. Forget everything and run, that's what the enemy wants us to do. Or face everything and rise. As Christians, our choice should be the latter. Face everything and rise. But we are to rise up and follow the example of our Savior and actually do the will of God. Interestingly enough, Jesus gave his disciples instructions. And those instructions are to be adhered to today by us. You see, the people in Jesus' day, according to one commentator, and I quote, they expected the Messiah. They were prepared to receive the gospel, but the laborers were few. He directed his disciples, therefore, to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send forth reapers. God is the proprietor of the great harvest of the world, and he only can send people to gather it in. End quote. During this pandemic, the souls are ripe for the picking. So many people want to hear more about God and the things of God now than they ever have before. They're open, but where are we? So many ministries of our local churches may be on hold, and special days have been canceled. But the work of the church is continuous. Now that we can go to church in the comfort of our own homes, what's our routine after we get the word? Do we discuss it like the Bereans in the book of Acts chapter 17 did? Or do we conclude whether or not the preacher really preached, and then we go about our business as usual? There was one of the Rice students who shared how her neighbor in her complex, who is of another faith, at the beginning of the pandemic, handwrote letters to every resident in the complex to encourage them and gave them pieces of literature, you know, that go along with their faith, and because they wanted to encourage the people. They wrote a letter to every person living in the complex. Father, forgive us, for we know not what we are not doing. Amos 6:1 warns, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. The exposition of that is they're lazy Christians. Christianity is more than profession. It is even something more than faith. It is carrying into practice the truths we profess. The soul that is at ease sits down very contentedly on his mere profession and mistakes earth for heaven. End quote. They're static. Static. Searching for service. Searching for service, but the correct connection has been interrupted. How does that happen? Most of the time, it's something internal. The phone could actually be broken or simply need to be restarted. We may have to go into the settings. Sometimes you might have to take the SIM card out and reinsert it, maybe a few times. Internal stuff. That's what breaks the connection. Internal stuff. Before this pandemic, it seemed as if we had endless funds or unlimited credit cards. And all of a sudden, something happened. The connection was broken. COVID-19. And we were all searching for something. Shelter in place began March 23rd in Philly. A few days and this will all be over. Guess what? It'll be 8 weeks tomorrow, y'all. We're searching for service. What's wrong with this phone? What's wrong with this world? To get back to the freedoms that we thought we had. Turns out they were just internal stuff. Internal stuff that actually broke our connection with God. We had freedom to waste money, to ignore our children, to not be in a real relationship with our mates anymore. We had the freedom to be just who we wanted to be, even if we named the name of Christ. There's a break in the connection. There's no network connection. There's no network connection. We're searching for service on our phones and in this world. The network connection has been broken by the prosperity God allowed us to have. But he had to show us how far away from him we had walked, because our pockets were bulging and our bellies were full. He had to show us how we took bigger and bigger steps away from him. And the more he blessed us, the more he allowed us to have, the more we felt we didn't need him. We began to spend time with him only when we were in 911 situations, like this pandemic. We even got twisted up in ministry, and ministry became about us, not about God, about us. Coming to church, well, that's when some think they're doing God a favor. Ministry was not about God anymore, but became about what we wanted to do. Don't you tell me what that Bible says. This is the way we've always done it. There's no network connection anymore. There's a break in the connection. There's no network connection. We're searching for service, but God's searching for servants. Who can he send today? Who will say today, here I am, Lord, send me. My life is not my own. Will any of us at least pray? Pray to the Lord of the harvest and ask him to send laborers? There's a song called People Need the Lord. They used to sing this a lot 30 years ago. We don't even want to sing it because we don't want to think about it. I'm going to read you a few words from Steve Green's version. Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries, only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, he's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize that we must give our lives? For people need the Lord. People need the Lord, y'all. And he wants to use us to let them know that. Can we remember where we were when we got introduced to the Lord? Some of us could barely make it down the aisle when the invitation to salvation was given. Sin had beat us up for so long, had deceived us for so long, that our legs may have felt like jelly when we stepped out into the aisle, out from the pew to take that walk. As we look around at the people of this world, the multitudes of them, full of fear. Do we have the experience of our Savior? After all, the Father is making us believers like him. The scripture says, but when he saw the multitudes, what about when we see them? But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. If we are being moved with compassion, how are we responding? Isaiah responded to the call of prophet when he had his encounter with God in a vision. When we got saved, we became a missionary. Somebody say, what you talking about, Willis? Yeah, we became a missionary. A missionary is a member of a religious group sent into an area to promote their faith or perform ministries of service, such as education, literacy, social justice, healthcare, and economic development, because that's another way of promoting our faith. as is taking neighbors to the market, helping to plant flowers, sweeping sidewalks, babysitting, and yes, sometimes even babysitting Bebe's kids, so we can influence them for Christ. Shakespeare has said, the world is your oyster, but the world is our mission field, and we are God's missionaries. He used Peter to say that it's not his wish that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. On our block, that's our mission field. In our cul-de-sac, that's our mission field. In our development, that's our mission field. This world is our mission field. We're working where we work because that's our mission field. We've heard about Doctors Without Borders. Maybe it's time for the church to remove its borders. Denominations, doctrines, creeds, you know, all those things that divide us. And simply just be the body of Christ, which has been called to go out there. We were only meant to come into the buildings of worship we erected to worship and get equipped. But we were also supposed to go, not stay and build so many ministries that if we're not careful, we will only exist to serve ourselves, not them. You know them, those outside of the church walls. We see them. We see them every day. We bump past them coming into church. I got to go get my praise on. What you talking about, Lord? Stop and say good morning to them. Really? There's sheep out there. We used to be with them. There was a picture of an image of a homeless guy that was on the news. He had a sign. He said, I used to be just like you. We see these people. We see them out there, the sheep without a shepherd. And we see them now, especially if we are still drawn to watching the news every day. We see them all around the country, desperate, desperate, bewildered, in need of a shepherd. What are we going to do about it? What are you going to do? Are you just going to say, who's preaching next week? That's enough of this. Or are you going to say, here am I, Lord. What would you have me to do? Where would you have me to go? Because if this pandemic is teaching us nothing, it's teaching us that all we have is today. We don't have any more time to waste. We don't have any more time to think about what we can do. We need to get about our Father's business, because as I said when that student shared, the enemy has his people out there recruiting in this pandemic, and we're sitting up, like John Stott said, standing on the seashore, watching people drown, and we're afraid to get wet. Father, forgive us, for we know not what we do. How have we ever, sometimes maybe heard that we have been bought with a price? We are no longer our own. So basically, when we say, here I am, we're just simply doing what we're supposed to do. Help us, Lord, help us. Break our hearts today, oh God. Break our hearts over our complacency, over our ease in Zion. Let us not ever be the same, not ever. Trouble us night and day, God, day and night, until finally we say, for some, what must I do to be saved? Because you've been coming to church all this time and you ain't never been saved. And then the prayer for others is, what must I do, Lord? I yield, I yield. I give you today my whole life. You saved me so long ago, but today I give you my whole life. I surrender all. Here I am, send me. My life is not my own. Can we even hear God calling us anymore in the nighttime? It used to be that we could hear him and our spirit was troubled, and so we got up. But now we just turn over. I'm not sleeping good on that side. We used to get up and ask God, is that you? Now we put a pillow over our head and reason. That's not him. Are we ready, Christians? The scripture says that we will come in rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us. Those sheaves will be the souls that you and I have allowed the Lord to use to bring into to use us to bring them into the kingdom. How many are coming in with you, my sister? How many will be coming in with you, my brother? How many will be coming in with me? Young children, do you not yet know that God made you a soul winner too? Or has the subject never come up because we are more focused on our young people excelling in the world and to the things of the world than we are with the things of God? Searching for service. Searching for service. The connection has been broken. Let us listen to this song and watch this video. The Spirit of the living God is searching for those whose hearts are turned to him, crying, send me, send me. Where would you have me to go? Oh, across the street? Yes, Lord, I'll go. To my boss? Yes, Lord, I'll go. To my teacher? Yes, Lord, I'll go. To my cousin that I can't stand? Yes, Lord, I'll go. I heard that. Somebody just asked, didn't Jesus just tell them to pray? He didn't tell them to go anywhere, did he? Here's the answer. We are never to pray a prayer that we are not willing for God to use us to be an answer to. Jesus knew the realization would come to them if they did pray in earnest that maybe God could use them. The Spirit of God today is searching for servants who will serve him with their whole heart. Those who want the will of God to be done on earth as it is in heaven. More than they want success in this world. More than they want prestige. Those who want the will of God, even if their name is never known beyond their own family. Who choose to make themselves like Christ, giving up their reputation. Giving up. Making their name great, minister, but taking upon themselves also the form of a servant. Searching for servants. Searching for servants. Searching, searching, searching for servants. And in his searching, Jesus told his disciples then and now, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. It's God's harvest, y'all, because only he can save a soul. But we've got to go. That's the call, y'all. First, God bids us to come when we receive salvation, and then he commands us to go. Go into all the world and tell them that God so loved this world, including them. And including them being just the way they are, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Stop waiting for things to get back to normal. Read your Bible. God never went backwards. He's always about doing a new thing, which means he's always going forward. God's call is out there, y'all. Who will go? Who is willing to speak for him? I started out telling you all how Jesus was all about the Father's business. From day one, when the Godhead decided to save us from sin, the Lord Jesus was the first to say, here I am, Father, send me. It's time for a new attitude, y'all, for all of us. And if you agree, then please pray a simple prayer after me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come. Lead me. I will follow. Send me. I will go. I thank you in advance for your help, because your word says, without you, I can do nothing. But with you, I can do all things. Thank you, Father. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. searching for servants. Searching for service, searching for servants. Some of you who are in the congregation, the extended congregation out there in cyberspace, some of you have not yet answered the call to come to the Lord, to admit to him that you are indeed a sinner in need of salvation. There's no time to play anymore. We don't know how much time we have. If you're not saved, today is your day of salvation. For some who are saved, you're saved, but you've been doing everything your way, and now the Spirit of the living God, not me, but the Spirit of the living God, has confronted you this morning, down deep in your spirit. And he wants you to make that full commitment, that whole commitment to him. Some of you saved, living for the Lord, but you also been doing just enough. You know, because I got to be able to put my feet up at the end of the day and watch my shows on the TV. Those shows that are competing in our spirits with the Word of God. Because Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Spirit now works in children's disobedience. So all those little things that we taken in, it's warring against us. You know, we have three enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And God has allowed the enemy to rule with limits in this world. So God wants some of us to give him more time. There's so much that God has given us. And we get so excited and we hear the songs of God and we get caught up in emotion and we say so many different things. But whatever it is that the Spirit of God is challenging you with today, I encourage you to do some business with God before your head hits the pillow tonight. There's too many things that he's doing for me to name them, because he's just that much of an awesome God. But especially we pray right now for the soul that needs to be saved. And if you are there sitting in your living room, maybe you're in the car, maybe you're still in the bed, and you don't know how you got onto this broadcast, but you got onto this broadcast because God wanted to let you know that he loves you just the way you are and that Christ died for you. And if you had been the only person on this planet, Christ would have still died for you. He wants you to say yes to his gift of salvation. You may not understand all of that right now, but you do know there's something going on in your spirit, and this is a whole new feeling for you. That's God beckoning you to come, and that's also the enemy holding you back. So right now, if you just pray this prayer, God will hear you, and he will adopt you into his family. Dear God, repeat after me. Yes, say it right there where you are. You do not have to be in church to get saved. Dear God, I'm so sorry that you raised me in a Christian home, but that I went my own way and I've made such a mess of my life. Please, God, forgive me for my sins, all of them. And please, take me in. Take me into your family. I don't understand all this, but I know now I want you. I want you, and I want you with all of me. So God, I lift up my hands in surrender, and I say, yes, please be my Savior today. Please make me part of your family, and then help me to get to know you so that I could be like Jesus and be all about your business. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name, amen. Let us rejoice for the souls that the Lord brought to him today. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.